From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, diplomatic corner, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Vice President Maruf Amin states CA Expo proves closeness between Chinese and Asian businesses. Transportation Ministry inaugurates Motain Dry Port in East Nusa Tenggara. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian Vice President Maruf Amin said that the 20th China Asian Expo or CA Expo held in Nanning, China, prove the closeness between China's and ASEAN business players. As reported by Antara, he said on Sunday that Indonesia is present at this year's CA Expo. He also said that it is important to encourage interactions and networking between the ASEAN and comprehensive strategic partners, such as Chinese business players. At the Expo, Indonesia presents the Commodity Pavilion, which displays superior Indonesian products, as well as the City of Charms Pavilion, represented by Central Kalimantan Province. The 20th CA Expo is being held on-site on September 16 to 19, 2023, and will continue online until September next year. Director General of Land Transportation at Indonesian Ministry of Transportation Hendro Sugiatno officiated the Motain Dry Port in Belu Regency, East Nusa Tenggara, in commemoration of the Indonesian National Transportation Day. It is located adjacent to the border of Timor-Leste. In a written statement quoted on Monday, Motain Dry Port has the purpose of expediting goods from Indonesia to Timor-Leste and vice versa. Hendro remarked that the dry port will be prepared as a special area for Motain residents to develop small businesses. Meanwhile, Acting Governor of East Nusa Tenggara, Ayodhya G.L. Kalake, mentioned that Motain Dry Port is built to facilitate transportation in border regions. He hopes that the port can boost exports and imports between Indonesia and Timor-Leste, as well as improve the surrounding residents' economy. Southwest Papua Provincial's government will facilitate the economically weak native Papuan high school graduates to enroll in vocational education programs in Japan through the Golden Generation Scholarship BISGEMAS program. Head of Southwest Papua's Education and Culture Office, Adrian Hawei, said to Antara in Sorong on Sunday that a total of 60 people will be granted the scholarship. He also said that the provincial's government has allocated 80% of the scholarship quota for native Papuans, while the remaining has been allocated to non-native residents. He added that the Southwest Papua government has established cooperation with universities in Japan to accommodate the awardees. The government hopes that the scholarship could improve Southwest Papua's human resource quality and competitiveness. Solok West Sumatra has been selected to be a pilot project location of the Maternal and Child Health MCH Handbook Knowledge Sharing Program. It was carried out in collaboration with the Indonesian Minister of Health and the Japan International Cooperation Agency, JICA. Mayor of Solok, Zul Elfian Umar, on Sunday said that 8 countries, namely Cambodia, Kenya, Tajikistan, Timor-Leste, Laos, Vietnam, Thailand, and Madagascar, sent their delegates to implement the program in Solok. He hopes that all participants can share their knowledge to improve maternal and children's health in the city, including suppressing maternal and infant mortality, as well as reducing stunting prevalence. Utilization of the MCH handbook is currently one of Indonesia's top programs to prevent and early detect nutritional and health problems in mothers and children at the family level. Let's move on to the international news, where South Korea's main opposition leaders has hospitalized days into a hunger strike in protest, while prosecutors sought an arrest warrant for him over corruption allegations. As reported by Reuters on Sunday, leaders of the Democratic Party of Korea, Lee Jae-myung, began the protest on August 31st, citing the government's economic mismanagement, threats to media freedom, and the failure to oppose the Fukushima wastewater release. He was transferred to a hospital from the National Assembly in Seoul on Monday morning after suffering from dehydration and dizziness. Head of the ruling People Power Party Kim Gi-hyun has urged Lee to stop fasting, saying he was ready to talk on policy issues. Hours after Lee was transferred to a hospital, prosecutors said they had requested an arrest warrant for him as part of an investigation into a breach of duty allegation during his time as a mayor of Seongnam City and a bribery allegation about illegal money transfer to North Korea. Lee has denied any wrongdoing, calling the allegations fiction and a political conspiracy. Kuwait, Bahrain, and the Arab Parliament have welcomed the Saudi-Omani efforts to find a comprehensive solution to the Yemeni crisis, the Saudi press agency said earlier Monday. Statements by the Kuwaiti and the Bahraini foreign ministries commended the mediators' invitations to the rival Yemeni groups to resume talks on the ceasefire agreement and to reach a solution that all sides agree on under the auspices of the United Nations. Earlier reports said a 10-strong delegation from the Iran-backed Houthi militia flew to Riyadh for their first talks in the kingdom since the war began in 2014. The first round of the Oman-mediated consultation between Riyadh and Sana'a, which are running in a parallel to UN peace efforts, was held in April when Saudi envoys visited Sana'a. Arab Parliament Chief Adel Al-Asoumi said he looks forward for things to proceed in a way that enables the Yemenis to end the war they have lived in for years. He also praised the tireless efforts by Oman to bring the fuse between all concerned parties. Leaders of North Korean Kim Jong-un headed home after making a final stop in Russia's far eastern city of Vladivostok, where he visited a university, an aquarium, and an animal food plant. KCNA reported on Monday he spent 2 days in Vladivostok while inspecting various facilities before bidding farewell at a send-off ceremony at the Artium station. It wrapped up Kim's week-long trip to Russia, during which he pledged to step up military and economic cooperation with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Kim toured Far Eastern Federal University, where he and Putin held their first talks in 2019, and he was briefed by its presidents. Kim also attended a reception hosted by Alexander Kozlov, Russia's Minister of Natural Resources and Ecology, and visited the Arnika Biofeed Mill. North Korea's Radio Voice of Korea said that the visit opened a new period of a rapid development and strengthening of bilateral ties between the two. Listen, now let's move on to commentary for today on regional and international supply chain as strategic issues in globalization era.
Here is today's commentary on regional and international supply chain as strategic issue in globalization era. I'm Dalat Pane. Singapore joined hands with Malaysia and Indonesia in developing a strong regional supply chain basis to use the shift in global manufacturing flow. Using the investment increase from India, China, and Southeast Asia in recent years, Singapore increased cooperation with its neighboring countries. It included building some manufacturing bases, including Singapore, Johor in Malaysia, and Riawalans in Indonesia, which geographically are neighboring to each other. Jacqueline Poh, the Managing Director at Singapore Economic Development Board, ADB, said that in the gathering of London Stock Exchange Group and Reuters Newsmakers on Thursday, Po stated that Singapore is increasing the effort in regional supply chain, so that along with Malaysia and Indonesia, it can be a much stronger production basis in Southeast Asia. Meanwhile, during the G20 summit in India last week, India, the United States, the Gulf countries, and some European countries announced a new trade route. India, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, France, Germany, Italy, European Union, and the United States signed a letter of intent for the founding of the India-Middle East-Europe Economic Corridor, IMEC. IMEC was aimed to increase trade relations and contact between Europe and India in hope of improving the economic development of Europe, Asia, and the Gulf. In this, the Gulf will be a join. The plan also includes cross-border railway that complements the existing sea lane and land connections. This corridor aims to improve and smoothen goods and services transfer from, to, and through India, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Israel, and Europe. The planned execution will require a fantastic investment. In a press release, India, the chair of G20 2023, refers to the World Bank involvement. For European Union, the IMEC plan is in line with its global strategy for investment in infrastructure projects. On the other hand, European Union, the United States, and Indonesia have launched the Partnership for Global Infrastructure and Investment in the G20 summit in Bali on November 2022. This was in line with European Union Global Gateway Program. For this program, European Union provide 300 billion euros until 2027 to fund 90 projects across the globe. For Indonesia, international supply chain is a crucial issue in the current globalization era. This is important in ensuring the smooth export and imports while cutting costs. Therefore, worker and operational costs will be lower mainly in producing goods. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. We begin today in history on September 18 with the event about World Bamboo Day. World Bamboo Day is celebrated every September 18 with the aim of raising awareness to preserve and promote the bamboo industry. The celebration also aims to highlight the potential of bamboo to protect natural resources and the environment, as well as ensure sustainable use of bamboo. bamboo is used for various purposes, especially in East and Southeast Asia. Commemoration of World Bamboo Day also recognized the importance of bamboo on a global scale. Let's move on to the next event in 1948, where the Indonesian Communist Party PKI Rebellion in Madiun, East Java. The 1948 Indonesian Communist Party rebellion was also called the Madiun Incident. This rebellion was carried out by the People's Democratic Front, or FDR, which consisted of the Indonesian Communist Party, the Indonesian Socialist Party, the Indonesian Labour Party, the People's Youth, and the All Indonesian Central Labour Organization. The Madiun Indonesian Communist Party rebellion was motivated by very complex problems. This rebellion began with the fall of Amir Sharifuddin's cabinet, which no longer received support after being accused of bringing losses to Indonesia when it entered into the Renville Agreement with the Dutch. The Madiun Rebellion was a movement that aimed to overthrow the legitimate government, namely the Republic of Indonesia, and replace the foundation of the country as a communist state. The Madiun PKI Rebellion ended after 3 months with a defeat on the PKI side. We end today in history with an event in 2007 about Buddhist monks' protests against the Myanmar's government. The 2007 Myanmar anti-government demonstration began on August 15, 2007 and have continued. The demonstration was triggered by the decision of the junta, the Peace and Development Assembly, to cancel fuel subsidies and increase fuel prices in accordance with the advice of the International Monetary Fund IMF and the World Bank as much as 100%. Students and opposition political activists led the demonstration. The junta quickly handled the protest by detaining dozens of protesters. On September 18, the demonstration was led by thousands of Buddhist monks who were members of the All Burmese Monks Alliance, and the protest was allowed to continue until the government began detaining demonstrators on September 26. This demonstration was referred to as the Saffron Revolution.
Lagi-lagi tetapnya
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Ministry of Industry continues to encourage the development and expansion of market access for national small and medium industries, one of which is the local furniture and crafts industries. This effort was made to face the current global economic dynamics. Quoting econ.go.id, on the sidelines of the International Furniture and Craft Fair Indonesia, IFINA 2023 exhibition in Tangerang, Banten, Friday, the Director General of Small, Medium and Multivarious Industry, Reni Yanita, said that the furniture industry has big opportunities this year. According to her, this is because the furniture industry has a dominant proportion of export with more certain markets condition. Reni Yanita explained that this was shown by the contribution of the Indonesian furniture industry of 1.3% to non-oil and gas gross domestic products. Reni added that up to June, the export value of the furniture industry reached US$799.6 million. Quoting Fortune Business Insights, of the global furniture market value in 2022, almost 50% came from the Asia-Pacific market. Reni explained in 2023, it is hoped that the global furniture market value will increase to around US$541 billion. Seeing this, the Minister of Industry emphasized the need for strategies to increase the competitiveness of the Indonesian furniture industry as an effort to increase market access and respond to existing trends. Market opportunities for the furniture industry, both abroad and domestically, need to be utilized as well as possible by the government, associations, and industry players themselves. Reni said that the trend of environmental awareness support industry players to improve production's quality through a sustainable process, for example with sustainable, environmentally friendly raw materials and implementing a circular economy. She assessed that this step could have a significant economic impact on society. One of the steps taken by the Ministry of Industry was facilitated 10 selected small and medium furniture and craft industries to take part in the 2023 IFINA exhibitions, which took place from September 14 to 17, 2023. Apart from participating in the exhibition, these 10 industries also received facilities for developing design concepts through the collaboration of professional designers with industry players to create creative product designs, as well as intensive assistance by experts. Meanwhile, the Director of Small and Medium Industries for Food, Furniture and Building Materials at the Ministry of Industry, Yedi Sabaryadi, hopes that this exhibition can introduce the products of Indonesian furniture industry participants to potential buyers, thereby gaining a wider market and increasing export potential. He also hopes that exhibition participants will gain knowledge and information on the latest trends and market taste. The IFINA Exhibitions is an international furniture and craft exhibition that has been held since 2008, initiated by the Indonesian Furniture and Crafts Industry Association, ASMINDO. IFINA 2023 is the 10th time it has been held.
Sampai
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. VOI listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder takes you closer to Rada Prahayu Dance, a dance from South Kalimantan to welcome guests as a sign of respect. The movements in Rada Prahayu Dance always begin with a flying movement, which depicts an angel descending from the sky, and ends with the same movement, which depicts an angel returning to heaven. Rada Prahayu dancers usually wear laying clothes, which are usually yellow, with a shawl for dancing, which depicts the beauty of an angel. Apart from that, the dancer is also equipped with a cepu as a holder for yellow rice and polpori in the left hand for ritual movements. In the performance, dancers are accompanied by music and singing. This dance was originally a dance to rappel reinforcements to ask for safety from all dangers. Apart from that, Rada Prahayu dance was initially only performed at traditional events, such as weddings, pregnancies, births, and also death events. However, as time went by, this dance was also performed as public entertainment. Rada Prahayu dance is taken from the word radap or beradap-radap, which means together or in groups. Meanwhile, Rahayu means happiness or prosperity. Historically, this dance originates from an event when Patih Lambung Mangkurat returned from his visit to the Majapahit Kingdom. When they were about to enter the Barito River, their ship ran aground, causing it to roll and almost capsize. In that situation, Patih Lambung Mangkurat prayed to the Almighty for help so they could be saved. Not long after that, seven angels descended onto the ship and then held a civilizing ceremony. After the ship was saved, the angel returned to heaven with the same movements as the glider movements in the Rada Prahayu dance. Until now, Rada Prahayu dance is still preserved in various art studios in Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan. Of course, many creations are added to each show to make it look interesting, but still don't abandon the original standards. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Setting up some boundaries, even this at ease. Gotta be nobody else but me. secret.
Ain't nothing but a heartbreak, cause you make this go your way. Know how to keep it silent, confide only in your space.
Don't need to hide it, can't find any other way.
We're riding the story,
let's keep it low.
We know we
gotta keep it,
we know we gotta keep it.
We know we gotta keep it,
we
know we gotta keep it,
we know we gotta keep it,
we know we gotta keep it.
Hush, hush.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Menuju Bandung. Menuju Bandung, which means heading to Bandung. Stay tuned. We are going to present to you a conversation entitled Berkirim Pesan, which means sending messages to each other. This conversation happens between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia, and Indah, his vlog community friend in the city of Bandung, West Java. Chris tells in his vlog that he gets to know Indah at work. Let's listen to the conversation.
Perjalanan saya kali ini di Bandung ditemani oleh Indah, kawan lama saya. Kami jarang bertemu, tetapi selalu berkirim pesan.
Halo semuanya, saya Indah.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times, and you can repeat after me. Jarang bertemu, which means rarely meet. Tetapi, which means but. Selalu, which means always. Berkiriman. Which means send each other. Pesan, which means message. Kami jarang bertemu, tetapi selalu berkiriman pesan. Kami jarang bertemu, tetapi selalu berkiriman pesan. Which means we rarely meet, but we always send messages to each other. Perjalanan, which means trip. Kali ini, which means this time. Ditemani, which means to be accompanied. Kawan lama, which means old friend. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, kami jarang bertemu, tetapi selalu berkiriman pesan. Kami jarang bertemu, tetapi selalu berkiriman pesan. Which means we rarely meet, but we always send messages to each other. In the sentence, the word berkiriman, which means send each other, it has the same meaning as saling berkirim, which means send each other. The expression berkiriman pesan has the same meaning as saling berkirim pesan. Let's listen to the other examples of using the word saling, which means each other. Berpelukan, which means hug each other. Para pemain sepak bola berpelukan setelah laga berakhir. Para pemain sepak bola berpelukan setelah laga berakhir. Which means the football players hug each other after the match ends. bersalaman. Bersalaman, which means greet each other. Warga bersalaman pada hari Lebaran. Warga bersalaman pada hari Lebaran, which means people greet each other on Eid al-Fitr. Bandung City is the capital of West Java Province. It is located about 140 kilometers southeast of Jakarta. Bandung is the third largest city after Jakarta, and Surabaya is Java based on population. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Perjalanan saya kali ini di Bandung ditemani oleh Indah, kawan lama saya. Kami jarang bertemu, tetapi selalu berkirim pesan.
Halo semuanya, saya Indah.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. I'm Rahma, sampai jumpa.
Beranjak pergi, jangan terlambat lagi. Ini bukan di pagi hari, sudah pukul 2 siang.
Entah mengapa malam tadi, kesurupan atau alkohol, pikiran atau hal tolol, air mata lancar jalan. Tapi ada dua rapat sore ini,
penonton menunggu dari pagi.
Ajakan makan malam sudah janji,
mau kurusan momennya lagi.
Hari yang baik untuk berbohong, hari yang baik untuk tertawa, hari yang baik untuk bahagia, hari yang baik untuk cari uang.
Rambutku terlalu panjang, berantakan menutup mataku yang katanya terlalu lelah. Kita mair-mair menutup celah, boleh kata atau kelihatan. Jangan buat tanda salib di kerumunan, iklan-iklan yang dipaksakan. Katanya ku kurang senyum, harus lebih fun.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. The next segment is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Budaya Bangsa by Ika Kurniawati. The song, which was composed by Suradi Santoso, tells about the diversity of Indonesian cultures. The songwriter also emphasizes that his work signifies his contribution to the nation through the beautiful Indonesian keroncong music and at the same time an invitation to preserve it. Well, listener, here is Ika Kurniawati with the song Budaya Bangsa. Enjoy!
Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Tentu
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, wherever you are, that's our programs on the English program from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any comments, suggestion, criticism, any feedback for Voice of Indonesia, just drop us a line through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok at VOI_official and YouTube channel VOI Official. I'm Rahma signing out. I'll see you in the next interesting edition of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.